I'd like to welcome everybody. Today we're going to talk about Paul's words to the Corinthians where he says, imitate me. I think this is a good town to talk about that. You've got a lot of those imitation tribute shows. It just seems like every hotel has some sort of tribute show where they're imitating, whether it be Elvis or some other entertainer. I know Legends in Concert has been playing in Las Vegas for probably 30 years, imitating different entertainers. Paul's not talking about that, though. Paul's talking about, as Chris read our scripture reading, you know, it was a short reading. You know, sometimes, you know, I hope you didn't think, oh, we stood up for just those words. You know, we got all the way up and then it was just a sentence. But there's a lot to this. There's a lot to this. Paul told the Christians in Corinth, he says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And there's a lot to that. There's a lot to him imitating Christ. And we're supposed to be doing that. And I sometimes think to myself, do I really want people to be imitating what I do? Do I want people imitating me as I project Christ? And I'd like for us, and you know, and the thing is, people are looking at us, whether we realize it or not. It is amazing. Those of you that are parents, you get what I'm talking about. Your child will say something just nonchalantly or do something that's right out of what you say or do. You know, I can remember saying something and almost wanting to take a step out of my body and say, when did mom, that's the same thing my dad said. That's the same thing my mom used to say. Or really anybody that's had a big impact on your life, that you kind of are influenced by that. And I think a lot, do I really want people to imitate me as a Christian? And I'd like for us to look at some of these, you know, our family. Do we want our family members, our children, to follow in our steps? Or family members that we want to influence? You know, maybe our parents aren't Christians. Maybe our grandparents aren't Christians. Our cousin. And do we want them to follow what we've done? Our neighbors. Our neighbors see us. They see us Sunday morning packing up, loading up the car with people and going to church. They can tell you're going to church. You're dressed a little bit different. You're carrying your Bibles, hopefully. Carrying your Bibles. And it's hopefully a routine that they see it about certain time every Sunday. So-and-so family's loading up. They're going to church. People that we work with. You know, when you think of some of the people we work with, you know, we've developed relationships with them over the course of years. Do we want them following and imitating us as we imitate Christ? The brethren. You know, a lot of times we overlook the influence we are on each other. The strength that we have. The encouragement we give each other. And we ask ourselves, do we want our fellow brothers and sisters imitating us? One of the areas is the way we talk. You know, that is sometimes the way, that's one of the first ways people kind of get to know you. By the way we talk, the language we use, you know, the words we say, that's a look into that little window called us as Christians. But not only the language, the topics. You can never have bad words come out of your mouth, but what you're talking about can sometimes, do we want people to imitate us with that? What influence at work, sitting around the lunch table in the lunchroom at work? What kind of topics are we talking about with each other? And then can we easily segue from those topics to be able to invite them to come to worship service with us or to have a Bible study after or right before some of the topics we may or may not be talking about? The tone or attitude. We can never let a bad word slip out of our mouths, but our tone and attitude. And I tell you, that's something I have to keep in check, especially on the phone dealing with the surly customer service rep. That's where the rubber meets the road for me. Are those customer service representatives that I'm calling because of an issue that company has, and they get snippy? Usually, I'm pretty good with language. Pretty good. Tone and attitude. Do I want Christians imitating me some of those times? We have to ask ourselves about tone and attitude. Gossip. Let's ask ourselves if we proceed a conversation with, now I know I shouldn't be saying that, then don't. If we proceed a conversation with, God forgive me, but, or, now don't tell anybody, but, gossip, the way we talk, and do we want, like Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Do we want people imitating the way we talk? James deals with this in James 3, starting in verse 9. It says, talking about the tongue, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Shouldn't be like that. Should not be like that. The mouth is a very powerful thing. We can praise God and praise God with our mouth. We can teach the word of God with our mouth. But we can also discourage. We can also curse men. We can do a lot of damage with our mouth. Another way about imitating, do we want people to imitate us, is our actions. Saying, what we say is one thing, but how do we act? You know, ask yourselves, do we want people copying the activities where we participate in? What we do, where we go. We may not be doing bad things, but be in a bad place. Do we want people to, you know, do we want our children to follow that pattern? maybe the when. It can be a totally innocent, worthy activity, but the when. Maybe that's taking place at 11 o'clock when we should be worshiping God, but not doing something else that's totally innocent. With who? I tell you, the Bible's full of checking ourselves of our companions. It says, don't be deceived. Bad friends corrupt good morals. In 2 Timothy, Paul is telling his beloved Timothy in chapter 2, he says, flee youthful lust. Talking about our actions, our activities. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness. Let your activities be righteous. Faith, love, peace with those. We need to pursue peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. We may not have peace with everybody. We may not have love or faith with everybody. We need to pursue it. Those are the actions we need to pursue with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We may not get it from those that don't call on the Lord without a pure heart. He goes on to say, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Avoid those things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue love. Pursue faith. Pursue those things, but avoid those foolish and ignorant things. Another way we need to think of, do we want people imitating us? The way we study God's Word. If somebody patterned themselves after the way we do things, how do we study God's Word? How often? These are questions that we've got 103 people, well, little kids, some of them can't read, but we've got 103 people here. We've got 103 different ways of going about things. How often do we study God's Word? Do we attend Bible classes? Do we open the Word with our families? Do we study with other Christians? Dick and I have talked so many times about somebody will deliver a sermon over the same verses or the same passage, but have a different perspective. I guarantee you could take 10 men and they deliver a sermon on the same verse and you're going to learn something. What is the attitude about studying God's Word? Oh, I've heard that before. I'll tell you, every time I hear somebody preach on a subject, I learn something from it. A fresh look, a different perspective, something that they bring up. We have to ask ourselves, how often do we study God's Word? What is our attitude? Oh, I'm going to read the Bible through. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to learn anything, but I'm going to learn it. I mean, I'm going to read it. What's our attitude in God's Word? In 2 Timothy 2:15, again, Paul tells Timothy, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. I love the King James. This is New King James. I love the King James translation. It says, study to show yourself approved. But the New King James, be diligent. It's not a flippant thing. It's not a nonchalant way to study. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's how we know whether or not something is along God's word or not. And I love it when we have a scripture up there, or I say a scripture and I hear those pages turning. Now, of course, I know some people have it on their phone and so forth, but when I hear those pages turn, you're like the Bereans in Acts, studying daily to see if these things are so. And we need to be diligent. And what kind of lessons are we giving others by the way we study God's word? How often we attend? Do we want people to imitate us according to that? How often we attend worship? How often we attend Bible studies? Is it a once in a blue moon if nothing better comes up? If we don't get a better offer? If it's not too early? The activities with our brothers and sisters. How often do we participate? Who gets the best of our time? In Hebrews 10:25, the writer of Hebrews says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. I guess it was an issue back in the first century. I guess it's not an issue of 2018. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That's one of the purposes God had for us to come together. Not only to worship Him, but one of the benefits is that we exhort each other when we're together. And so much more as you see the day approaching. The way we serve the church, the way we serve each other, the way we serve God. What is our attitude? Oh, I gotta go do this. I signed up to clean the building. I gotta go. Do we have the right attitude? Do we have the right motivation? Jesus talked an awful lot about the right motives. Have the right motives when we pray, when we fast, when we give of our means. He was always talking to the scribes and Pharisees. Don't be like them, the hypocrites. They pray to be seen by men. They do things to be seen by men. What's our motivating factor? In John 13, we just went over this recently, a few weeks ago in our Wednesday night Bible study. We're studying the Gospel of John. And in John 13, verses 14 and 15, it's Jesus has just washed the feet of the disciples. And he says, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. What a wonderful example. It was very humbling to be able to wash somebody else's feet. It's not something I think I would cherish of wanting to do. Stinky and smelly. But Jesus, the Lord and Savior, God's Son, just hours before he was crucified, he gives them an example. After supper, he knelt down and started washing their feet. And then he says, here's an example for you to do this for each other. To do that as Christians. How do we serve? In a humble way. In a sacrificial way. And last, but definitely not least, there's many other lessons we could take from this, but the way we pray. Do we want people imitating us the way we pray? How often we pray? Do we only pray when we're in a jam? Our backs are up against the walls. Doctor, you're waiting in the waiting room and waiting on the doctor to come in with the results of the test. Is that when we hit our knees in prayer? How often do we pray? Over what? What do we pray for? Are we praying mostly for physical desires or spiritual? Our attitude. Why do we pray? For who? For us or for each other? In Philippians 4, Paul addresses this to the Christians in Philippi. He says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul's not saying, don't ask for things for yourself. He's not saying that. But when you do go to prayer, be anxious for nothing. Turn your life over to God in prayer rather than be anxious and worried and nervous. And if you do, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I have found over the years, people either get this or they don't. With maturity, you get to that point of you get it. And I'm seeing a lot of you either smiling or shaking your head. You get this. That when you turn that over to God, the worldly stuff, to God, and you turn to God in prayer, you get that peace that God wanted you to have. And it's not that anxious worry. You get the peace that God wanted you to have. And in closing, Paul later on in this chapter, just two verses later, he wraps back up and we come full circle from Corinthians. And he says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. These things that I do, you do. And the peace of God will be with you. Eyes are watching us. We can have great influence. One person gets up each Sunday and delivers a lesson. Today it was to 103 people. We've got 103 people that are going to be going everywhere after this, delivering your own lessons. By the way we act, by the way we talk, by the way we pray, by the way we serve each other. And we've got lessons. As you go deliver your lesson, make it be one that somebody could imitate you and see Christ. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we have an opportunity now. I didn't look in there, but I assume, because Hugh checks on it all the time, I assume the water's in there. We can baptize you. If you need to be baptized, we can do it. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need us to go with you to God in prayer, let us do it. If you need to repent of sins, if there's that one thing in your life keeping you from fully pleasing and serving God, Put that behind you. Repent. And turn from that. If you're looking for a church home, if you've been looking around at some congregations here in town and you've tried a few and this seems like a good fit for you, we would love to work and worship with you. And if you would like to identify as working and worshiping with us, please do. Whatever your need, if you would, as we stand and sing the song Curtis has provided, come forward, let your needs be known, and we'll address those. Let's stand and sing.